Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Show, brought to you by thesportsshow.com. My name is Jim Parsons, here as always with Norman Quarantine. Norman, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm okay. We're getting closer to WrestleMania season, so there's WrestleMania implications from Raw and SmackDown, and things are happening in that regard. The card is coming into shape, some of which is good, some of which I don't know about you, but I'm not a huge fan of. We've also got some AEW rumblings with people who may or may not be looking at leaving, sticking around. So we're going to talk about all that on a news episode of the show today. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Monday Night Raw and what happened on the show and where it's going? Do you want to start with some rumblings out of AEW? I'm going to let you choose. What do you want to start
with? Yeah, let's start with Raw, I guess, since it's since it was as we record this on Tuesday afternoon. Okay.
What's the biggest takeaway from the show for you?
I think Becky Lynch and Lita winning the women's tag championships was a very, very interesting move. You know, Lita hasn't wrestled that many matches over the last 10-15 years, and she's now a champion in WWE once again. So I think that's a pretty big story, and it does you know, there's some interesting, you know, it sets up some interesting dominoes for WrestleMania, I think, and then also, you know, throwing Trish Stratus in there as well. You know, I thought that was very interesting. Can't say, not necessarily, doesn't, that, I'm not, that's not saying I'm a super fan or anything, but yeah, I thought it was an interesting decision. And so yeah, sorry, so Lita, in since 2007, Lita has had 9 matches and only 6 of those were in WWE. And 2 of those are Royal Rumbles. So there you go.
Interesting decision is probably the right phraseology here, the right terminology to use, because it is interesting. Like, it is, I get why Lita's coming back. I can totally see Damage Control versus Becky Lynch, Lita, and Trish Stratus at WrestleMania. That makes absolute sense for me, especially since you have a crappy women's division when it comes to the tag team. And so that's a marquee match you can sell, right? What I don't understand is having Lita come back, having them win the tag team titles, having Trish Stratus sort of be the third wheel in all of this. And then, like, what's the plan? Like, are you planning on having them lose the belts again to Damage Control before WrestleMania? Are you putting the belts up for grabs at WrestleMania? And
in a trios match, maybe?
Yeah, and then potentially Damage Control wins it back, which then means you have Lita and Trish Stratus returning for WrestleMania, but they don't win. Like,
right.
I don't understand where this motivation comes from. The only thing that I can think would be that maybe Trish is swerving everybody. Like, that she comes out and joins Damage Control or wants a heel run in WWE. Because I could envision that. You know, where you've got Damage Control trying to win the belts back, from Lita and Becky Lynch, and Trish turns on Lita and Lynch to get the belts back with Damage Control, and then runs a heel program with Becky Lynch or something like that. Like, I could see that, because that gives them the belts back. It allows you to protect Lita and Becky Lynch in the finish. Outside of that, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me. And it speaks very loudly to how bad the women's tag team division is. And I also don't have a clue what this does for Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, who were rumored to maybe wrestle those for those titles at WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this felt like it should have been the Mania match, right? This Becky Lynch and Lita beating Damage Control. That feels like a WrestleMania moment. So yeah, a lot of, like they always say, like the WWE stands on Twitter, I love to say, let it play out. and then whenever they say that, they typically end up disappointed. But I guess we'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be a nice WrestleMania moment at some point, unless they do one of those things where they're like, because you know how we kind of typically expect chapters to end at WrestleMania or maybe begin, but then sometimes they end up doing a thing at they use WrestleMania to kick the can down the road so that they can do a rematch at Backlash or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is kind of, it contradicts a lot of, yeah, I think on, you know, a lot of WWE, hardcore WWE fans on Twitter like to say that, like, you know, they're like, with Sami Zayn, for example, they're like, why would he win the title on a random B pay-per-view when he could win it at WrestleMania? But then when something like that doesn't happen at WrestleMania, then they say, well, that's because they need to set something up for Backlash, which is a B pay-per-view. So I don't know, you know, just some contradictory, some inconsistencies there with fantasy booking, I guess.
Well, I've been really pro WWE for the last little bit, because I thought they were making some really strong decisions when it comes to their booking. But the last 2 or 3 weeks, I'm not a fan. I'm shocked by the way this WrestleMania card is coming together. Like, Cody Roman, I get it. Like, in fact, that, I know a lot of people argue that Sammy should be in that thing. That's actually the one match where I'm like, it's okay that he's not. Like, I like Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. I think that makes sense. It's logical. You've got Cody finishing his story there. You've got Roman potentially losing to the guy that you want to take over that role, and he's hot and all these other things. But, like, Brock Lesnar, here's a takeaway from Raw for me, two of them. Brock Lesnar confirms his match with Omos at WrestleMania. What? Like, I don't understand that one at all. There are so many other opponents that you can have wrestle Brock Lesnar, that why would you do this? Like, and if the rumors are true that Triple H is trying to keep the card down and the roster size for WrestleMania lower, what is Omos doing on it? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. Bobby Lashley, Bray Wyatt makes even less sense to me. I have no idea why Bray Wyatt would call out Bobby Lashley. I have no idea why he's doing the muscle man thing and he's acting like a bully, you know, poking fun at a guy who's huge and ripped and whatever. Doesn't make sense to me. Drew McIntyre and Gunther, I'm okay with that match, but I think there are better options for both of those guys. Mm-hmm. Like, this card is coming together in a very weird way, and I don't understand it. Like, I'm looking at it and thinking to myself, all of these matches that are potentially going to be shaping themselves up, like John Cena potentially wrestling Austin Theory, I get that one. Seth Rollins, Logan Paul, I get that one. These other ones, I don't get them. Like, they just don't make any sense to me. Why you would have these huge names on your roster and then put Lesnar against Omos or Lashley against Wyatt. It just doesn't make sense. Like, do you look at those and go, what are they doing?
Yeah. It does seem like a lot of the decisions being made in the build up seem counterintuitive almost. And I think we should be clear here. Like you said, you've been a big fan of WWE the last few weeks. And I think it's, you know, you'd have to be, you know, there's definitely been an improvement in booking overall since Triple H took over creative, right? I think it's pretty obvious. Look, you need look no further than the way the mid-card titles have been booked since he took over to see that. But that alone doesn't mean that they are immune from criticism. And I think, you know, as fondly remembered as Triple H's the glory days of the black and gold NXT were, There were a lot of like very weird and very dodgy booking decisions during that time, and especially on the undercard, there was some things that there was some very weird storylines that, you know, if it hadn't have been for that hardcore NXT fan base, you know, might not have gotten over with a mainstream WWE audience. But yeah, that, you know, there's still some growing pains, and I think that's been evident here. You know, I mean, fair play to Triple H, he kind of got thrown in at the deep end because it wasn't he took over creative and then had to start essentially booking WrestleMania season. And we should also be clear as well, when we say, you know, neither of us, just because I'm more critical of WWE than you are, Jim, this is for listeners, I'm not anti WWE. I want WWE to succeed. I want WWE to do well. I'm a pro wrestling fan first and foremost. I want all wrestling to be good. The more wrestling that's good, the more good wrestling that I can watch, right? There's no vendetta here. I'm not rooting for WWE to fail. Some of the people, so many of the people in that roster, there's so many people on the WWE roster that I've watched wrestle in Amish flea markets in front of 50 people, right? I want all of these people to do well. But that doesn't mean that they're immune from criticism, and if something stinks, we're gonna say that it stinks, and there's a lot of stuff stinking right now. And you know, and it's the same over on the Warner Discovery show, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I feel the exact same way about AEW. Like, I probably, if people are commenting on the things that I say on this show, it's that, oh man, he doesn't seem to like AEW very much, which isn't true at all. Mm. I really do want AEW to do quite well. And when they first started out, I was like super excited by the show and really was into it. I would love it if every night that I watched wrestling was Wednesday, Monday, Friday. They were all entertaining. I just happen to find right now that AEW is not doing a very successful job of it. WWE has been doing better. But on the same turn, when WWE makes matches don't make sense to me, and you have opportunities to do something way more logical that they don't do it, it doesn't seem, you know, it seems silly to me. But
yeah,
it's kind of interesting. I don't know how the rest of this card is going to shape up. There's still a lot to go here. Like another one example on Monday night, Bianca Belair standing face to face with Asuka after Asuka wins against Carmella, and then they keep Carmella in the program.
Right.
Like, she attacks, you know, Asuka and Belair after the match with a shove. Like, she's still somehow in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, what's the plan here? Are you just building for something for next week? Yeah, there's 33 days to go, but you're not going to put her in that match, are you? And if you are, why?
Well, yeah, then I can't remember if it was before or after, but they also kind of teased a you know, Chelsea Green, Carmella team up. And so I don't know, maybe now perhaps they'll do some sort of, you know, that we were talking about the women's tag title situation for WrestleMania. That could end up being one of those matches where they try to cram as many people onto the card as they can. So we could end up getting an eight woman, four team tag championship match, you know, with like Damage Control, Lita and Becky Lynch and Chelsea and Carmella and you know, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler or someone like that, you know.
I don't understand why it's so difficult for WWE to make a decent women's tag division. Like, they have the roster and they have people that aren't doing anything,
right?
It's very easy to put two people together, make them look somewhat similar, make them behave in a similar way, give them a name, and away you go. Instead of just going, hey, well, let's pop, you know, Tegan Nox with Natalya and we'll call it a tag team. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's not very long-term planning in terms of trying to build a division that works. So it's not a shocker when you have Lita and Becky Lynch win the titles because you have no other option. Like, you just haven't built anything out of the division.
Yeah, they also don't need to have two. I mean, the company has two women's tag titles, right? There's the NXT one and the regular one. Why not just have one and just have them be defended across all brands?
Yeah.
And have, yeah, that's what, and that they kind of made it. Remember when Bayley and Sasha won them and then they showed up in NXT and we were all like, oh, cool, they're going to defend this title is going to be defended across all brands. And then suddenly they, for whatever reason, created a women's NXT tag team championship. And it's like, you don't even have enough teams in women tag teams in the company for one title, let alone two. So yeah, they definitely need to pull their finger out regarding that division.
Well, and the other issue with NXT too is that the people that are there aren't sticking around. Like, if they're doing their job and they're good and the plan is to move them to the main roster at some point, there is a shelf life to anybody's championship reign on that brand.
Yeah.
Like, you get to a point where you're like, well, what do we do now? Because we want to move him up, but he's got the title, or we want to move them up, but they both got the tag belts. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't make any, like, it just seems silly to have all those people that you're trying to get off of the brand because they're that good. But then you've got them holding titles that nobody really cares about.
Yeah. And yeah, what you were saying just then about the NXT situation where, you know, every reign has, you know, a shelf life because at some point they're going to get called up. It's actually really interesting if you look at the NXT titles and you look at the lineage of those. Almost every reign, almost every person is just one reign, you know, because there's a few exceptions, you know, like Samoa Joe held the NXT title a few times or whatever. But yeah. If there is, it's almost every title is like one reign per wrestler, and then they get called up so they don't get another shot, you know. Kind of fun.
Yeah, there was a time I think it was like only Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano kind of traded it back and forth and stayed there. Everybody else either won it and then lost it and moved up, and then the person who won it then lost it and moved up, and then it was just like, yeah, back. It was an interesting time, still is, but it's just such a developmental brand now. With people who might be there a little longer than normal because they're bringing them in with absolutely no experience whatsoever. But yeah, it is interesting times. Let's switch gears a little bit, talk about AEW. We brought them up. The shows are interesting. That might be a key word of the day here. Let's talk a little bit about what you're liking with the product, but also some of the rumors that are floating around out there. The biggest one being that Kenny Omega is apparently open-minded to the idea of jumping to WWE. Now, his contract that he signed in AEW, which was, I think, a 4-year deal when he first signed it, was supposed to expire at the end of whatever that was, January or February, but he was out injured for a while. So the reports are that they've extended that contract till at least the end of November of 2023, and then we'll see. That apparently people in AEW know that he's open-minded to going to WWE. It's not a given by any means. He could stick around in AEW, but that he's going to certainly consider his options before he re-ups in AEW again. So that would, one, be a very big loss. We don't know how accurate this report is, if he's really considering going. We don't know if the Young Bucks would probably go with him if their contracts end around the same time. But what do you make of all of this talk that Kenny Omega could be somebody who is WWE bound by the end of 2023?
I mean, so pre-Cody jumping ship, I would have, you know, wrote this off as complete nonsense probably. I think I'm still not sure that there's much to it. Like, I believe that his contract is probably winding down, and of course if you're a big name in AEW and your contract's winding down, people are always going to discuss the you know, the jumping ship situation. I'd be surprised if Tony Khan was willing to let him go, especially, you know, I'm sure he does. I'm not saying that he regrets letting Cody go, but by, you know, letting Cody go, he did hand WWE like a big, you know, a big draw, basically. Kenny Omega is one of the best wrestlers of all time, hands down. If you don't agree, then I don't know. I think maybe you're not paying attention or something, because even if you don't like his character or you don't like his mannerisms, his ring work is just stellar and has been for many years now. So there's, of course, and on top of that, he's charismatic, he's likable, he's affable, he's got a loyal, dedicated fan base, he speaks fluent Japanese, blah blah blah. So of course WWE are going to be interested in him. If he was a free agent, they would of course put the feelers out and attempt to sign him. Anyone who thinks otherwise, I think, is delusional. Whether he wants to go or not, I think that, you know, he hasn't got that many years left in him. His in ring work, that his the style that he works, he is carrying a lot of injuries. And you know, I don't think Kenny Omega is going to be wrestling in his 50s. Although you never know, it could happen. But yeah, so the clock is ticking for him, and I am sure that he wants to end his career with a WWE run under his belt. So I would expect that at some point in time, we will see Kenny Omega in a WWE ring, and it will be a cool moment. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't think it will happen in the next couple of years. But if it did, that would be fun. But then, yeah, well, I don't know where that leaves. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he's in a trios, in a trio situation at the moment. So it's not like he's at the top of the card. And, you know, that doesn't mean he's not an asset. But, you know, if he were going to leave, this would probably be the best time for him and AEW. Although I'm sure he's happy with where he is right now. And, you know, he's got a match coming up at Revolution, the Trios Tag Team Championship match with House of Black, which should be good. But yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. I don't know. How do you feel about it? Can you see Kenny Omega in a WWE ring this time next year or what?
Yeah, actually I can. Now, part of that depends on two factors for me. One, how badly does he want to perform at WrestleMania? Like, I don't know what's in the back of his head. Like, if it's on his bucket list of things to do, or if he's the type of person, he's like, dude, if I don't ever do this, that's totally okay with me. Like, I don't know where Kenny Omega sits on that. So if he's, you know, absolutely sold at some point that he wants to perform at WrestleMania or have a WWE run, then I believe he's going to need to do that sooner than later, just because of his injuries, because of his age, and that like you mentioned, some of his style, the way that he wrestles. I think if you're going to do that run, you should do it now and then maybe go back to AEW if you want to. But I don't know that you want to wait. Like, I wouldn't necessarily, if that's something that is a priority for him, signing an AEW another 2 or 3 year deal and then hoping at some point you get to jump to WWE, that has like Sting written all over it for me. Right. You finally go to WWE and it's just a mess. It's not good. It doesn't live up to any of the hype or the expectation. He's past the point where he's really that useful. Like, yeah, he'll draw in a match, but the match ain't great. You know, like, it's just not it. That's, it screams a Sting situation to me if he waits too long. So that's a huge factor for me. The other one is, how much does he care that he's in a prime spot in AEW? Because we've heard both, you know, he'd like to be higher in the card, but at the same time, he also really wants to push this trios thing. And the trios thing is really a sort of a baby of his, kind of like the women's division, right? Like, he is firmly behind making it a success. The problem with both the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and some of the other people in AEW right now is that AEW seems to have forgotten about a lot of them. Like, they haven't really pushed the guys that have gotten them to the point where they, you know, where everybody's like really wanted AEW to succeed. A lot of those people have taken a back seat, including, I think, Kenny Omega. So if Kenny Omega really thinks, you know what, I could be better utilized than what I'm doing right now in AEW. And like you said, you know, maybe WWE, this is that time. This is the, like, look, I've got an opportunity here. Like, would it shock me if he signs like a 1 year deal with WWE so he could do a WrestleMania and then decide what he wants to do? Not at all. Like, that at least gives him the opportunity to do that, to build towards a major match, to be a draw, to see where it leaves him, to see if he creates a real bidding war for him to either stay in WWE or come back to AEW. I totally could see that. But again, I have no idea what Kenny Omega is thinking and what his priorities are. So if WrestleMania is a big thing on his bucket list, yeah, I could absolutely see him going. And if it isn't, then, and AEW doesn't want him to leave and they offer him a boatload of money and back up the Brinks truck, he'll stay.
Right. Yeah. And I think it probably, even earlier when I said, you know, if you don't think that WWE would be interested in Kenny Omega, you're delusional. Conversely, I also think that if you don't think that Kenny Omega has wrestling at WrestleMania on his bucket list, I think you're probably delusional. I think because I think all wrestlers have that, right? Whatever you think of WWE, whatever you think of the way the company's run, it's a historic professional wrestling institution, and WrestleMania is, you know, the granddaddy of them all. And I think that it's, you know, it's the Super Bowl for wrestlers. So I believe that is on his bucket list, and I think he does want to tick that off at some point. When that happens, I guess we'll wait and see. And I do want to point out as well, I do think I do have a theory that he's probably doing this trio situation because I don't think he's quite at full fitness yet, and he probably isn't ready to do 100%. to do a full-blown like 20-minute one-on-one match on a random Dynamite. So yeah, I think this is probably a pretty good spot for him at the moment, because, you know, he only has to work in these trios matches, he only has to be in the ring for 5 minutes at a time or whatever, you know. So yeah, definitely worth pointing that out.
What do you think's going on in general with AEW? Like, what's your perception of that brand right now? Like, we've got a lot of interesting decisions coming up here. You know, MJF and Bryan Danielson. Like, how does this one end? Do you give the title to Danielson? Do you keep it on MJF? You've got an interesting tag team title change that just happened recently. That when we talked on the last show, we were kind of like, that was a little surprising, the way that they did that. You've got a lot of what looks to be copying ideas from former promotions and brands and pushing people and forgetting. Like, where do you sit on what AEW is doing right now? And all the while in the background, Tony Khan is like freaking out because he believes WWE is tampering and there's allegations of them trying to screw them over and put them away and all of these things that Tony Khan is doing while he's out on social media acting like a child and calling out Ariel Helwani and all these other things. Like, what's going on with AEW right now?
So we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I think the long, you know, I think I could see the merit in only having four or five pay-per-views a year. Is it four a year they have?
Yeah.
I can see the merit in that, right? Because it makes each pay-per-view feel more special than if you have 12 or 13 a year. That being said, that makes the build between pay-per-views longer and harder. And as I'm looking at the Revolution card, it looks decent. It looks like a good card. And I think that there will be a couple of bangers on there for sure. There will be a few bangers on there. Right. But the last few Dynamites have been pretty rough. Looking at the card, I'm like, yeah, this looks good, but none of the build to none of these feuds have been particularly good. You know, Chris Jericho versus Ricky Starks, that, what are we doing? I mean, come on. And then we've also, you know, that, like, for, you know, the triple threat women's match, Jamie hates Saraya and Ruby Soho. Like, I love Saraya. I've got like a soft spot in my heart for her, obviously, for a long time. I watched her wrestle in front of, you know, 10 people in bingo halls in England when she was 17. I'm attached to her as a performer, but whatever they're doing with her at the moment just isn't working. I'm not super stoked for this match, the Jamie Hayter Saraya Ruby Soho match. I do think that the MJF Danielson match, I mean, it's a 60-minute Iron Man match. Those are always very risky. I hope it's good. I want it to be good. MJF's reign has been very disappointing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, but as soon as that title went on him, he kind of, the bloom came off the rose pretty quickly. And honestly, if I was booking this, I would have Danielson go over, because I think Bryan Danielson is a megastar, a pro wrestling megastar, and has been for years, and he's a former WWE champion, and maybe they don't want another ex-WWE guy to be carrying the company, but I mean, who else, you know? I think MJF, it might have been, and maybe it probably was a little bit too soon, and I can see why they did it, because of the, you know, he did make himself extremely relevant in a way that was, you know, quite enjoyable to witness, but yeah, I've just not been a fan of this reign so far. I don't know how you feel.
Well, they flip-flopped him a lot, right? Like, he's the typical MJF, really heated heel. His promos are vicious and whatever. And then he's, like, playing sort of the role of getting the crowd to get behind him. And when you do that with, you know, your top person and you're trying to build a massive rivalry with somebody to sell an Iron Man match like this, you can't be flip-flopping on this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, the last few weeks, he's been the steady heel. I know, really pulling out the old, you know, MJF-isms, if that's a thing. But, like, they didn't for the longest time before that. And so you're like, well, what is he? Is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy? Is he, like, and that's, I think, one of the biggest problems for me is that you're just kind of like, you got to decide what this guy is. And it seems like they have lately. But when he first won it, it was kind of like everybody wanted him to win it. So he was sort of the babyface. It was kind of a weird, you know, way to get to where they're at right now. And I don't know. I think they've done this a few times. They did it with Hangman Page and they've done it with others where you're just like, man, they really could have made something big out of this the moment that person won the title, and then they just didn't. And so I don't know where you go with it, but yeah, I'm finding AEW tricky to follow.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm confident that they'll be able to get their affairs in order again, just for whatever reason. It's impossible. No wrestling company is ever going to be firing on all cylinders constantly, right? That would be crazy. And you know, I never expected AEW to just be consistently brilliant week in, week out. So I think they're just going for a little rough patch right now in terms of booking. I'm confident that they can rectify that. Like I say, I do think Tony Khan might be spreading himself a bit too thin. Mm-hmm. And maybe they, you know, maybe there is something in having more. I mean, I know there is a creative team. I know he isn't making every single decision by himself, but yeah, I don't know. Not saying they need a writing, you know, a writer's room or anything, but I think that a little bit of input from some more creative minds, especially for some of these mid and lower card feuds, would be smart.
Yeah, I don't often agree with things that Ric Flair says, but at the same time, he said maybe he needs to take a step back and let somebody else look at it. I wonder if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're out of time. We're not going to have a chance to get into any more topics, but Norman, thank you very much. We're going to see how this build towards WrestleMania goes, what happens in AEW here on Dynamite this week. For everybody else, thanks. I appreciate you listening to the Sportster Show by the Sportster, and we will talk to you on the next one. Thanks, Norman.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.